and I'd like to speak to you this morning from the Old Testament, Proverbs chapter 3. It's Old Testament literature, and it asks us to be wise and trust in the Lord. That's really the theme, with all our heart. I wrote this sermon this summer for my Aunt Ruli up in, some of you will know this little hamlet of Nearlandia. She turned 100, and I was going to be there for the occasion and said, "What's your favorite text?" And this was it. You know, sometimes we ask, so what's the secret to living old? Well, there's no secret passage or potion, you might say, for living old. But if we do want to live forever, the wise thing and really the only thing to do is to trust in the Lord Jesus with all our heart and not lean on our own understanding. So as we turn to this passage, Proverbs 3, may we be wise and hear what the Spirit says to this church or to you personally. My son, daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man, the way the scriptures say Jesus did already as a young person. And then our text, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your paths straight, or will direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Our focus is on verses 5 and 6, which read this way in the message. Trust God from the bottom of your heart. Don't try to figure out everything on your own. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Well, brothers and sisters, trust is a very essential ingredient in life. We buy cars, we buy computers and dishwashers because we trust they will work. We hire people, at least we ought to, that we can trust. It takes trust to step into a plane and also into a church. Trust is needed for the economy to run. If you don't trust, we won't invest. And most important, it takes trust to form a relationship, to get married. The old English word for commitment was troth. It meant loyalty, devotion, or fidelity. Two people who are trothful, if that's a word, they trust each other. Those who trust are the kind who, as verse 3 says, never let love and faithfulness leave them. It takes that kind of trust, love and faithfulness, to enter into and be in a relationship with God. Giving ourselves over to God in faith is trusting Him. And when we do that, we come to feel safe Trust builds security, gives us strength. How much would you say you trust God? On a score of 1 to 10. Now, you don't have to shout it out. But where would you put your level of trust? Would you say you trust Him with all your heart? Or do you lean pretty heavily on your own understanding? You're going to try and figure life out on your own. How well do you listen for the voice of Jesus in discerning who you are and where you want to go in life? Well, as we say, trust is necessary on many levels, but none so important as in the Lord. And the word there, you may have noticed if you had your Bibles open, is in capital letters. The New International Version made that decision many years ago to take the original word Yahweh, which the King James translated as Jehovah, to refer to the Lord. That's how they've done it. Now, Yahweh, really originally, it was just three vowels. And it referred to, kind of as you said, breath. Yahweh. Because He was the one that gave people breath. And the Lord is the one here in this passage, is the Creator of the heavens and the earth, the all-powerful One, who has made humans, breathed life into them, and established a loving covenant with them. This is the one we're being asked to trust. The one who, because we now are in the new covenant and know who Jesus is, has come to us as our Father, caring for us like children. Critical to trusting is knowing somebody has power to come through on whatever it is they promise. If we're going to trust God, we need to believe He's the Creator. And sometimes it's just good to stand in the creation and look around and say, this is my Father's world. Every part of it, every detail of it, and its vastness. Because if we don't believe that, we're going to shift our focus, our attention to ourselves, and we're going to try and figure this world and its problems out without the Lord. Oh, we might trust Him a bit. Depends on how we might want to define God, because pretty much everybody knows at some point in their life that they aren't in full control. Can't even control themselves, let alone this globe we live in and the people in it. Who doesn't sense at some point that they're powerless? But questioning our power doesn't mean we're trusting in God's, the one who's designed this world. And if we don't trust in God, we will inevitably be turning to self-help books, to modern science, to the most intelligent humans we can find who will help us raise our families, do business, run our country, and even manage our churches. When we start putting God on the back burner and work furiously to figure life out on our own, well, it's like Dr. Phil, the psychologist on TV. He has a very good question he often asks people, and we ought to ask that of our world. So how is that working for you? How is the secular experiment of our culture and society working for us? Now, we could go down that path and start showing how life apart from God in Christ is a dead end, and how Canadian society, along with a number of others, is disintegrating to the level it's no longer trusting in God and leaning more and more on our own understanding. But let's rather pursue this: whether God really can be trusted. For that to happen, we need to accept two things. The one of which we've already spoken about, namely, we need to accept that God is the sovereign, intelligent creator of everything that is in this world. The second thing we must believe about God to trust in Him is that He's loving, and He absolutely wants the best for us. And that He's going to use His power to work things out for our good so that in the end we experience His full blessing. If you do not believe, if I don't, in the core of our being, that God is not only powerful but good and full of love and kindness, why in the world should we trust Him? And then what's going to happen, says Proverbs, is if we don't trust Him, we won't want to obey Him either. Because when there's no trust, that's when we turn to our own understanding and start pulling ourselves up, setting our own standards for what defines morality or happiness. Psalm 37 says, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. Be still before the Lord." Oh, that's the hard part when we're trying to figure life out, and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret when people succeed in their ways, when they carry out their wicked schemes. See, the pathway of trust and blessing is not an easy ticket to the good life. Proverbs is here to remind us that on the rough road of life, it's not just trust, it's also obey. As we sing, there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. You need to trust and obey. Listen again to verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs 3. "My son or daughter, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity." Now, isn't that what we all long for? A long life, really, to live forever? And to enjoy peace, and yes, prosperity. And this is God's promise to those who will trust Him enough, so much that, as we've been emphasizing in this time where we're celebrating 500 years of the Reformation, that we won't lean on ourselves, but we'll turn to God's Word, sola scriptura, alone, and not on our own ability. We're going to follow the Scriptures. We're going to trust God, obey His Word. Now, I think a word needs to be said about this promise of prosperity, because the flesh in us wants to prompt Proverbs to push some sort of prosperity gospel as it's known, where the thinking is, if we just do things right, or as some might say, give enough to the church, we're guaranteed health and wealth. What prosperity gospel does is it takes the promise of prosperity and turns it into the good news. And it isn't. God is goodness and the news we need to hear about. Or as Paul says in Romans 1, we can summarize what the gospel is in two words: Jesus Christ. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom and all these things will be added unto you. And as soon as we think it's the added things that are the good news, you've got prosperity gospel. If you come to know and seek first the King, that's all the good news you need to have. And yes, God throws the rest in there, but stick to Him. He'll take care of the rest. Otherwise, we put the cart before the horse. So what Proverbs is telling us is that if we can get to this point where we love God and trust Him so much, we simply want to do His will, that's when life takes off. It's why Jesus said, you know, if you love me, you'll keep my commands. He wasn't playing a guilt trip. He was just telling something that's true. You love the Lord, you'll do what He asks. And when we fully identify and trust in Him in our heart, we'll follow Him. It's this in the heart. That's where we wander away, and that's where we first come back, in our heart. This place where God's built this hunger for wholeness and health and long life, it's in the DNA of our bodies and souls. So that is, Ecclesiastes says, God built us in such a way that we're just going to seek after God. We've got this built-in hunger for Him. It's a craving which we feel is for goodness, and it's for God, who we need to trust that He will satisfy this craving. And if He won't, you will find another way to fulfill it. You'll lean on your own understanding as to, I think this is a good life. Jeremiah said, cursed is the one who trusts in man, who draws strength from mere flesh, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. And he goes on to say, but blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in Him. They'll be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. And then later in that same chapter said, the heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can understand it? This tension in life between trusting and going our own way is what Paul is speaking about in Romans chapter 7 when he says, you know, in my inner being, I delight in God's law, but there's this other force, this flesh waging war against my mind. And he comes through all this struggle and he says, the only rescue is to get to this place where I can trust in Christ and allow His Spirit to come into me. And then he says in chapter 8 of Romans, those who live in accordance with this Spirit of Christ will have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. You see, that's the New Testament way of saying trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all our ways, keep in step with the Spirit, and He will make your paths straight. How do we practice? Because that's really what it is, trusting in the Lord. I find it's often baby steps. As the day begins, sometimes in poverty of spirit, go to the Lord and quietly submit or resubmit your life to Him, your body, your brain, your feelings, your marriage, your singleness, your work, your family, fun times. Take your church, give it to Him. Submit your government, your future. You can fill in the blanks. Trusting is a process. It's the sin of pride to think we can carry on with even the most ordinary things of life without consulting God or relying on His counselor, the Spirit. And we can avoid so much trouble if we would simply go to Him before thinking so hard or searching the web or even consulting friends, all of which have their place. 2 points, not long, we'll end. First, not leaning on our own understanding does not mean becoming a numbskull or an unthinking Christian who sees no value in education. Proverbs, I believe, is telling us to use our full intellect to pursue wisdom that bestows, as the title of that chapter is, that bestows well-being. It's calling us really to think like God, to have, as the New Testament says, the mind of Christ, to know Him, as Paul says in Colossians 2, the one in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So we're not to be unthinking Christians, trusting, thoughtful Christians. And secondly, when we read through the book of Proverbs, as I am at this point in my personal devotion, sometimes it's practical wisdom about life. You begin to wonder whether it's just talking about this life. Well, it certainly does talk about this life, but the perspective there and of the Bible is always the long view. The Word of God is very clear, and you catch it in Proverbs, that the life of a child of the Father will involve testing and troubles. And the reason is because we humans have been given responsibility for this world, and we sinful people have brought about through our personal and communal wanderings from God all the brokenness that's here. But in the meantime, God has a way of using it for our good and for His redemptive purposes. And so here's where trust comes in. We must trust there's a day coming where God's going to usher in this new world. This world will be made new. And at the core of our faith is this hope for the life to come. In this life, we just get tastes of glory. We begin to experience the blessedness that Christ will one day provide in full. And so when things like, they sometimes call them the D words, death and divorce and debt and disease come knocking, our challenge is, I'm going to trust that I can lean on my Savior and not myself. And I'm going to submit to Him in all my ways. And I'm going to trust that He will make my path straight all the way home. Would you pray with me? Good Shepherd, thank You for how You lead us. We can trust You in all the ways of our life. And we pray that that's who we might be. And that we may know deep in our hearts that one day, faithful Savior and Good Shepherd, we will live forever with You and You will make all things well. Until then, find us faithful, trusting in You and obeying Your will. Amen.